The text is the gospel reading, John 3, 1 through 17. Amen to that. That's what you say when you're in hearty agreement with something. The first use of amen is in the Old Testament to affirm a curse on oneself if you're lying. The double use of it ends the first three books of the five books of Psalms. The double use of it in the New Testament is exclusively the God-man's way of speaking. When Jesus uses it three times in his short discussion with Nicodemus, we're moved to say, amen to that. The first time Jesus says to Nicodemus, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you're born again or born from above, no one can see the kingdom of God. What a blow that was to Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, who had the nerve to come to Jesus at all, even if it was at night. He concedes that Jesus is a rabbi from God himself, who surely must have God with him because of the miracles he does. Now, if a pastor spoke to anyone in a Bible class the way Jesus speaks to Nick, he'd be out on his ear in nothing flat. And you can say amen to that. Jesus tells this ruling, respected teacher of the law, you don't know squat. You don't see squat. You can't see squat because you have not been reborn. I said the next word can be either translated again or from above. Nick takes it as again because he states it's a physical impossibility to be born a second time. But I think Jesus means it spiritually, by an act of God, be born again from above. Nicodemus, who believes he sees everything more clearly now than Jesus does, scornfully hears it the other way. Either way, Jesus' double amen turns on rebirth. Nicodemus is sure he sees the kingdom of God based on the works he sees Jesus doing. Jesus blows him out of the water. Actually, he's trying to blow him into the water. But anyway, he blows him out of the water by talking about rebirth. And whether you translate born again or from above, it's impossible for you. But without it, no one can see God's kingdom. Something radical has to happen to us, or God's kingdom is to us what colors are to the blind. Not one of us on his own sees God's kingdom. We think we see it here, there, and everywhere, when the church is full, or when our health is good, or when like a mighty army moves the church of God. We're sure, on the other hand, we don't see it when steeples are falling, or when by schisms the church is rent asunder. Our church leaders have taught us this. They see the kingdom when someone gives a large sum of money to a college, a seminary, a mission, not when the widow gives her mite. Apart from being reborn, I'm blind to God's kingdom. Say amen to that. After Nicodemus scorns the idea of rebirth, Jesus hits him with another double shot of amens. Amen, amen, I say to you, if ever someone isn't born out of water and the Spirit, he is not able to enter the kingdom of God. Not only is Nick not seeing the kingdom, he's not in it. Remember, this is an every Sabbath goer, and a church ruler, a leader and teacher. If he ain't in the kingdom, ain't nobody in it. But we know Nick isn't because he had rejected baptism. Jesus says that in Luke 7. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Do you feel your cheeks stinging now the way Nicodemus's did? You came to Jesus this morning, sure you see God's kingdom clearly, certain you're in it, but God's law says otherwise. Flesh gives birth only to flesh. Sinners produce only more sinners. But you can go a long time. You can make it all the way to your deathbed thinking you see the kingdom and you're in it. But the truth is, You're relying on having come from Christian parents and leading outwardly clean lives, which gives you fleshy confidence that you're going to heaven. The slap of the law wakes you up to the fact that you're wrong. And it's supposed to happen each Sunday morning, moving you to confess to being a sinner worthy only of punishment now and forever. It's supposed to happen again and again in the divine service, repeatedly moving you to plead for God to have mercy upon you, and at last rejoicing that his mercy endures forever. But you can go through the motions of the liturgy without even hearing the words. So God, in his mercy, he preaches the law to us in other ways. When crushing doubts descend upon us, making us unsure where God's kingdom is or isn't, that's to drive us back to God's word rather than to our own thoughts. Or age can creep up on us, and suddenly we realize that we're not even sure we have the energy to enter next year, let alone God's kingdom. When we say amen to that, then we see that Jesus is more than a teacher come from God. He is God come to earth as man. And the comfort is not that God is with him, but that Jesus is Emmanuel, which Isaiah tells us means God with us. Don't you remember your first day somewhere? It could have been school, it could have been college, could have been a job, the military, wherever, someplace you'd never been before, and someone showed you around. Someone pointed out things and told you what you were seeing. Someone showed you how to enter into the cafeteria, the mess hall, the commissary, the library, the break room. Nick's two problems are our two problems. We, on our own, can't see the kingdom of God. We don't know what we're looking at. And we can't get into it with our strength, our purity, our knowledge, or our pedigree. God took on flesh and blood to show us around, to open our eyes to what's what, and get us into the kingdom. The illustration breaks down, though, because Jesus doesn't show us around the new campus job or place. No, he takes on our flesh and blood and lives under all the rules required to enter God's kingdom. And having done that perfectly, he sheds his blood, cries his tears, and pours out his sweat. He does this in a body tortured, damned, and killed with every bit of God's wrath in every slap, every punch, every lash of the whip, and every blow of the hammer. And for the eternity that this goes on, he feels the guilt that you can still feel. He feels the shame you can still blush with. He feels the total hopelessness only the damned know. No, Jesus didn't just show us around, telling you what was what, how to get in here and there. No, he, by water and the Spirit, takes all that forgiveness he won from the Father, all the goodwill he paid for, and gives it to you in baptism. And now we've reached today's celebration, Holy Trinity. Luther says, wherever and whenever baptism is administered according to Christ's command, heaven stands open and the entire Holy Trinity is present and does the baptizing. Surely you baptized, born again from above sinners can say amen to that. But Jesus has one last double amen salvo to fire at us. Amen, amen. If you don't hear and see the Trinity in the voice and deeds of the man Jesus, you will miss heaven. The Holy Trinity is a mystery the church owns. The church doesn't explain, doesn't rationalize, but owns. That is, recognizes, because it's revealed in Holy Scripture. We hymn it, we praise it, we revel in the mystery, but we don't look too long at it. Spend a few moments in the first couple chapters of Ezekiel, and once your mind is frazzled by images the human mind cannot assemble, retreat to the Son of Man. When Jesus says, amen, amen, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Jesus doesn't have a mouse in his pocket. He is referring to the fact that he, God the Son, speaks of what all three persons of the Trinity know and see. If God Almighty spoke directly to you, it would not be the wah-wah of the adults on Charlie Brown. The voice that breaks cedars and causes whole mountains to skip would not only break your eardrums, it would explode your head. And if the Spirit conveyed to you all that the triune God knows in his majesty, in his essence, you wouldn't burn out like an overloaded electrical circuit. You'd go insane. And you try to scratch such knowledge out of your head by scratching yourself blind and deaf. Jesus reveals here what we confess in the Athanasian Creed, that Jesus in one person is both God and man, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. Here Jesus says it this way: no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. That last part about the Son of Man being in heaven, even as he is speaking to Nick on earth, is in the original Greek, but it's only in 13 of 38 English translations. Why? Because it blows your mind. The God-man is here, there, and everywhere all at once. That means there is nowhere. The holy, overpowering, awful mystery of the Holy Trinity is that your Savior, Shepherd, and Friend, Jesus, is not. Luther called the knowledge of God outside of Christ the only knowledge, and by the way, knowledge outside of God, outside of Christ, is the only knowledge recognized, referred to, or allowed in American society. And it's the knowledge that Nicodemus was content with. Luther called the knowledge of God outside of Christ a knowledge of the wrong side of God. It's only knowing the Hulk, not Bruce Banner. The second distribution hymn is a Luther hymn that shows where the teaching of the Trinity belongs. For Luther, teaching about the Trinity concentrates on nothing but the gospel, on how our liberation took place by the freedom Christ acquired and brought to us from the Father, which he imparts to us through the Holy Spirit by the Word. You can say amen to that. You can't say amen to the triune God in his essence. 17th century Catholic theologian Pascal said of God's omnipotence that the single greatest feature of it is that our imagination gets lost when thinking about it. I would say not just our imagination gets lost, but all of us does in the essence of the triune God. You cannot worship the naked God, God in his absolute essence and majesty. You can only worship God as he reveals himself in Christ. And then, in accordance with Psalm 100, you can enter the gates of his kingdom with the worship of thanksgiving and praise. Our word gospel comes from the Old English word Godspell. And that's usually translated good news, but it can be rendered news of God. The gospel, John 3:16, is a summary of all the news of God that he wants you to know. Amen to that. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.